If you are able, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? And today I will focus primarily upon the seventh verse of the eighth chapter, but I'm going to, if you will, allow me to read the preliminary verses beginning with verse 1 of chapter 8. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel will cry to me, "My God, we know you." Israel has rejected the good, and the enemy will punish him. They set up their kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria. My anger is aroused against them. How long until they shall attain to innocence? For from Israel is even this, a workman made it, and it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal if it should produce. Aliens would swallow it up. Now Israel is swallowed up. They are among the Gentiles like a vessel in which there is no pleasure. Hard words, may the Lord open our hearts and minds with the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the great truth of His Word. Amen. The events at the school in Florida that unfolded this week saddened my soul, and I trust it saddened the soul of many of these children who went to school expecting it to be a day as any other day, and then became victims of a horrid criminal. Why are we surprised when this happens? I think we are surprised because we do not understand what is going on in the United States. When events like this happen, it seems to me, I don't know if it seems this way to you or not, but it seems to me that people with particular agendas, political, social, or non-religious, come out of the woodwork like rats and roaches when a building is shaken. And they would use this event to further their own purposes, political, philosophical, or social, and to advance them and to use these events to their advantage. We saw this even before the place had been cleared, people immediately jumping to use this to make a point for the position which they advocated in particular. A professor by the name of Pink, who teaches at Harvard, was all across the internet, and I think even in some public media, announcing that no one could believe in God after something like this. Did any of you see his blurb? Well. And he said, there could be no God that would, he would not stop this sort of killing and violence. And he said, people who are praying for God to intervene are part of the problem, because it's not going to happen. Well, might I add, firstly, I don't think Professor Pink has any theological degrees, nor philosophic degrees. He has degrees in psychology. And anyone familiar with the science will tell you immediately that psychology and sociology are soft sciences. Their conclusions often cannot be proven as one can prove statements about physics or chemistry or the other hard sciences. Because within those disciplines, more often than not, are intermingled personal fancy and opinion with presentation. As an example, many years ago, I was involved in a debate regarding homosexuality, and it was just after the American Psychological Association came out and removed it as a class of mental illness, and they were talking about that, and I asked in the panel in which I was on of a person who was advocating the declassification, I said, could you cite for me any scientific studies that the American Psychological Association used to declassify this form of behavior as unhealthy? And there was a long silence, because in fact there were none and there are none. The argument put by the American Psychological Association on the floor of the meeting that changed the vote was that we don't have a part of limiting any group's rights by any position we take. That is not a scientific reason. And this professor's specialty is the use of language and its evolution. And like all non-believers, you know, you have to have some place to hang your opinion. And all atheists have sky hooks. You know what a sky hook is? Skyhook's that imaginary thing you put in the air and you can hang stuff on it. He says it's innate. How does he know it's innate? I studied philosophy, and one of the philosophers I studied a lot was G.E. Moore. He was an atheist. Great linguist, but he was an atheist. But when it came to dealing with ethics, he said, well, you just intuit that there's something good. Those are terms when you don't have a reason in the world to make an assertion that you use. What Professor Pink does not grasp is that he and his kind are a major part of the problem in Western culture and in the United States. Firstly, they are not near as bright as they would have you believe. Francis Schaeffer, you may not have heard of him. I get after my Bible study group all the time for not reading him some. But Francis Schaeffer, one of the most brilliant theologians that ever lived, and most people never heard of him. He founded the famous Libri Center in Switzerland, where during the 60s and 70s, young people from all over the world could come there and stay for free if they were seeking after truth. Sadly, you know, I just had this footnote. You know, God has no grandchildren. His son, Frankie, is a clear example that God has no grandchildren, because Frankie's as left-leaning as you can be and as anti-biblical as you can be. But Dr. Schaeffer said this, and you ought to remember this now, you know. When you go home next week, I come say, what did I tell you I wanted you to remember last week? If you remember it all, but Francis Schaeffer said this. Now remember this. He says, ideas have consequences. Ideas have consequences. And what he means by that is that the things that people hold in their mind and hearts and value shape personal lives, and they shape cultural settings and status. In the founding of this nation, now let me tell you, any university students are going to go, I probably heard this, oh, this country wasn't founded on Christian principles, yada, yada, yada. Look at Thomas Jefferson, look at, and let me tell you something. Thomas Jefferson, great inventor, good mind. His whole ethic was influenced by the very Christian God that he rejected. That's just the way culture was then. But this nation was founded upon the belief of the God revealed in the Old and New Testament. I challenge anybody to prove historically that is incorrect. Now, I know we have a lot of people that redact history. You know what that means? Did you see the thing that came out from both the Republicans and the Democrats about the dossier? And they were black marks stuff taken. That's called redaction. And that redaction happens in the academic setting, make no doubt about it. But this nation was founded upon the ideas and outlook that comes from the Word of God. For as I know that this nation and Israel is the only nation that ever attempted to do that. I could be wrong on that point. Elizabeth will tell you, I'm right most of the time, but not all the time. Ideas shape who you are and what you become and who a nation is and what it becomes. Now, we've been going through the life and teachings of Jesus here in this church, and our recent most focus was on one of the number one qualities and teachings that we learn from his person and from what he said, and that centers upon a great merciful love that is to live in the heart of every believer, and every believer is to act that out and live that out in culture. I ask you, was the great love of God living in a heart the motivation of Mr. Cruz, who went in and killed those innocent children? Was his life shaped by the idea of the gospel? Hardly. In fact, his actions contradict everything the Christian faith stands for. Let's take shootings in school to make a point. I did a study of violence in schools. And some of the listings really don't apply to the point. Some of the listings were somebody got mad at the principal or a teacher and went into school and shot him. That happened a lot back in the 1880s, it seems like, in 1990s. But it's not until you come to the year 1966 that you begin to see the practice of going into schools, I mean, happening again and again and again, coming down to the present, 1966. Do ideas shape history? In 1965, on June 4th, the Supreme Court made a ruling that prayer and Bible readings in school constituted a violation of the Constitution in separation of church and state. Well, now, as far as I know, lots of different churches read the Bible and pray, so I don't see that necessarily as the church, do you? But nonetheless, they made that ruling. And as former Congressman Watts sarcastically said to Congress, several years after that ruling was made, we begin to see this, all the violence taking place. He says, haven't things gotten better? The ideology that is shaping the United States today is not only non-Christian, it is anti-Christian. I want you to understand that. And under the name of religious freedom, they are excluding expressions of the Christian faith from the public square. It's not only true in public education, it's true in industry, it's true a lot of times around coffee tables. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the Word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why are we shocked at the things that are happening in our nation today? Because the one truth, the one truly great idea that heals and builds and shapes a life and a culture has been excluded. As one person said to back to that professor on the internet, God is not allowed in the school. Why do you expect change to be affected? The one thing I have often said about any atheist like Mr. Pink is that they either, when they talk about right and wrong, and I've talked to you about this before, talk about morality, and they all have an approach to morality. I'm sure if you could get a hold of everything, he's into the global warming issue, he's into the radical sexual outlooks. I'm sure he defends all that stuff. Really, it's hard to teach at Harvard if you don't. I used to get sarcastic about our presidents, and then I cut a little slack because I do realize many of them were educated at Harvard. And that's a detriment for your child rather than an advantage, I want to tell you. But those ideas that they promote, they want to say are right. How can you say they are right? If there is no God, if there is no heaven, if there is no hell, as Dvoskin said, then anything's permissible. The only law, if there is no God, is the law we perceive in evolutionary process as they present it, and the law there is the law of claw and tooth. Whatever is strongest has the right to do whatever it did. That young man had the right to do under their approach to life when he walked into that school, because for a moment he had the power and the will to do whatever he wanted. And this man has the audacity to blame Christianity. And he has the stupidity to propose that there is a moral right and wrong under his outlook. The problem in America, you know, is the fact that Christian principles no longer govern the mass majority of Americans' lives. It no longer governs what we present in the media. You know, these violence games that children play, those are terrible. Those are as bad as letting your child watch pornography. And these hypocrites in Hollywood that come out against all these things, and yet they produce movies that desensitize the value of a human life and human worth. As a friend of mine told a professor at the University of Tennessee who was questioning why Columbine happened, he says, it's because your side is winning. You university professors, and he knows the guy well, says, you teach that there are no ultimate values. You denigrate God. This same professor would just curse when he heard the name Billy Graham. There's a spiritual reason for that, I guess. But and now that view is taking hold in society, and you're seeing its effects. Do not be shocked at the things that are happening. The more this nation turns from the true and living God, the worse it will become. The innocent will be victimized, as evil always does. Ideas shape the world. They'll shape your life too. You treasure ideas in your heart and mind that lead you away from God, and soon you'll find yourself far from Him. I was saddened this week, but not shocked. As I am always saddened by human tragedy and suffering. But people who know the Lord understand this. These things are happening because of the ideology that men like Mr. Pink and a vast number of others create. They may not knowingly create. I sometimes wonder if they have really thought through what they say. I'm pretty sure that if they have, they're illogical. But people of God understand this. The origin of all evil is the one who stands in contradiction to Jesus Christ. Servants of Satan. What if that young man had grown up in a home? He seems to have had a tragic circumstance if you read about him. But what if he'd grown up in a home and been brought under the influence of the true Christian faith? What if he'd experienced from Christians a love and a caring for him and a guiding hand that cared about him deeply, deeply, and sought to fill his heart with the love of Jesus? You know, rather than being a person who had gone in and caused harm to others, I bet he would have become a person who would stand sacrificially in the way between those who would do harm and those that were innocent. Do not be intimidated, little children, by men such as this professor and a host of others. Do not be guided by any politician who will tell you if we just have more guns or less guns, or if we just do this or that, things will be okay, because they won't. If you can't get a gun, evil will get a knife. If you can't get a knife, it'll get a stick. For you see, the problem in America is spiritual. And when you have ideas being promoted everywhere that steer us away from seeing that, then those people are of no help at all in resolving it. If we continue to sow the wind, i.e., that spirit and movement away from God, we will not only reap the whirlwind, we'll reap a tornado. Unless, not just if, but I will add unless, my people repent and turn from their sin. We will destroy ourselves. The church's role today is to tell the world that. It is not all right that professors at Duke and North Carolina and East Carolina and Appalachian promote ideas that contradict the truth of Scripture. It's not right because, firstly, their position cannot be intellectually defended. They pride themselves on being logical or, in fact, illogical at the core. To say to our children and to our neighbors, unless your life is built on the true foundation stone of Jesus Christ, the fruit of your life will not be good. Wake up, church. Do not be puzzled at what you see happening around you, for the Bible tells you it will happen. If God did not pass by his chosen children, the Israelites, with that principle that who turns their back on him, God will give to their own desire. If he would not pass by his own chosen people, why should we think he should pass by us? And to say to those politicians, you know, your proposal may have some value, but you are ignoring the central fact, and I rather doubt you have the courage to address that. And the central fact is this, that the true and living God, by our nation's choice, our people's choice, has been removed. Close with quoting Charles Stanley, as I quote him many times. All that is necessary to create hell on earth, and I would say this is true of individual life too, so if your life's going through hell, this may have something to say to you. All that is necessary to create hell on earth is to remove God from it. And if that happens, don't be surprised. Well, this may not have been an edifying sermon today. It may not have been a sermon that lifted you up spiritually. I hope it lifted you up intellectually and mentally to know and understand and not be confused like Mr. Pink is confused. To know and understand what the problem is. And even more, we can gladly and rejoice saying we know what the solution is. That at the name of Jesus, every head be bowed, every knee bent, confessing that he is Lord. You want America to get well? Let that start happening. You'll discover, with the exception of a few, we have one of those few sitting in our midst, with the exception of a few, I have discovered in my long life that politicians are not leaders, but followers of the vote and power. And if we have a great revival in America, every man in Congress will sound like a protege of Billy Graham. But it has to begin with us. Who is on the foundation stone of your life? Who is it? Who is it that you determine light and darkness in all things through and in? Unless it's Jesus, you're sowing yourself the wind. Don't be surprised when you reap the whirlwind of unhappiness, sorrow, and judgment. America, you walk in the light, or you walk in the darkness. One has a joyous consequence, the other has a consequence full of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Evil may prove prosperous for a time, but its destruction is sure. I hope this sort of thing never happens again, but I really think it will. And I think it'll happen again and again and again, unless we repent as a people and a nation and turn back to God. So when your atheists and agnostics friends tell you, well, these things are so terrible, you say, well, yes, they are terrible, and so much of it is your fault. It's your fault, Mr. Pink. It's your fault. You created this world. We're not shocked. Why are you shocked? Why are you shocked when the fruits of anti-God are carried out in the world, those anti-God ideas that you promote? It's your fault. Well, if you hurry, we can beat the Baptist down the street to Arby's or wherever it is you're going. But it's been good to be in God's house today. I'm thankful for each one of you. If you have questions, if you want to pursue this idea and some of these things that I've asserted today with me, I'll be more than happy to talk to you. You know, I don't often know I'm right for sure, but this morning I know I'm right for sure. Whether you like it or you don't like it. God bless each one of you. May your life be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, that in the end you'll know complete joy. May you have peace in Him. Amen.